I want to go ahead today, ladies and gentlemen, and refresh our memory, because we're all familiar with this. I want you to know certain things in the Bible, just like you know your name. When we were growing up, we had this expression, like the back of your hand. You want to be able to become familiar with it. As I said before, we're going into some challenging times. And so, I'd like for us to go to the book of Matthew. And we're going to go to the 24th chapter. We're just going to highlight some things, because there's a lot of information I'd like to share. So the book of Matthew, the 24th chapter, highlighting the things that are happening now and also are ahead of us. For the nation of Israel, because remember now, they were what? How many temples did they have? Or let me, they had two, you're right. Go ahead.
One.
No, there were two. There were two temples. Yeah, one, and of course it was actually destroyed, and then later on they came back and they rebuilt under Ezra and Nehemiah, remember?
The same temple or another one?
Another one. And, well, I guess, you know, because it's only one main temple. But, after that, there is going to be another temple. It doesn't exist yet, but there's going to be another temple.
Do they have one over there now they call the temple?
No. They have a place they call it Temple Mount. Oh. But there is going to be one. But I want us to notice something. Because the God who has called you and I, He has a plan. He is allowing it to play out before our very eyes. So He tells us things that are not yet done, saying that His counsel is going to stand. In other words, because He's God, He has the capacity to make whatever He wants happen. Well, being loving God, He's telling us some things before they happen so we won't be caught off guard. Sometimes you hear people say, man, why you didn't tell me? Well, they expect you to be, you know, cordial enough and share with them deeper things. That's why they accept, why you didn't tell me? Because they expect you to tell them. Well, God has told us some things that is going to happen, and it is up to us to get hold of it now. I want us to make sure. If we should not have church service for another 10, 15 years, you should be able to handle things. You should be able to take care of yourself spiritually. I'm that serious about you learning these basic things. So in Matthew, the 24th chapter, it starts with verse 1. Here Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and His disciples came to Him, start showing Him the buildings of the temple. And of course, you remember now, you know, this is their highlight. They're big on this. And so they say, Master, you look at the temple, you know, however words they use. And they're showing Him, I say, look at the quality material, that kind of stuff, you know. So Jesus didn't mince words. Verse 2, immediately He says,
24 what?
Chapter 24, verse 2. So Jesus said unto them, see you all these things? Truly I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. It happened before, you know. And so here it is, it's going to happen again. And that burst their bubble. All of these walls and everything going to come crumbling down. And so he left and he went up on the Mount of Olives, which is a little hilly. He always go camp out up there. You know, in Jerusalem, the place relatively flat. So what they call mountains around here is a little hill for us. All right. Anyway, they went up there and he says, so they came unto him as he sat upon the Mount of Olives. The disciples came unto him, not in front of everybody, but quiet, privately. Because they're serious now. He just burst their bubble. Man, all them stones you're talking about, ain't nothing going to be left. And so they come to him and says, privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be? Notice that now. Three questions they ask him. When shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of your coming and the end of the world? Tell us when these things are going to happen. What is going to be the sign of your coming and the end of the world? Another translation says end of this age, because the world don't really end. And so Jesus now start to explain to them what is going to happen. Now I'm telling you now, there are seven things that you need to know. He's going to list them now. They're equivalent to the seven seals of the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation went from a different dynamic in it. And you can go to Luke 21. Luke 21. And you see the same things here also. This goes into more detail. And if you're not careful, you can miss some of it after you pass the fourth one. So this is why I'm spending time now to let you know these things. Because I expect you to understand these things as we go along. People are going to be running to us asking, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And you should be able to give an answer quickly. It shouldn't take forever. You must be convincing when you speak to them. In other words, you need to know what you're speaking of. So he tell them, he says, okay. And Jesus answered and said unto them in verse 4, take heed that nobody deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now, he don't want you to be deceived. But there's going to be a lot of people coming in the name of Jesus. I'm going to end up deceiving a lot of people. How in the world can that happen? Here it is, people are coming in the name of Jesus. And at the same time, fooling the people, deceiving them, leading them astray. It's relatively easy. They're talking about a Jesus that's not in the Bible. A lot of churches are preaching that kind of Jesus. So we need to understand what the Bible actually does say. Let me rephrase that another way. There are a lot of people believe that there are certain things in the Bible and the Bible doesn't teach those things. Consequently, they have what I call a false faith. And the end result is that they're not going to profit. That's one of the reasons why you see so many people are kind of giving up on churches, because what they're saying is, man, it's not working out. This is what I was told, and it's not working out. So they say, well, it can't be for real. So some people just quit going to church altogether. It's not because the Bible isn't real. It's because they haven't been taught the right thing. They're not in touch with the right spirit. Consequently, they're making mistakes. So the first thing is that there's going to be a lot of deception. Next week, a lot of people are going to celebrate the return of the sun. When is the 25th? What day is 25th? All right, whatever that day is, the 25th. That's the day of the sun. You know where that came from? In the northern hemisphere, closer to Norway and so on, the days are going to start getting longer, starting on that day. And so, traditionally, they would refer to that as the day of the sun. That's the day the sun first appeared in the northern hemisphere, starting from then all the way back to June. Now, the early people who professed to be Christians, they weren't really Christians, they were the Romans. But they come and they say, well, let me call this day the day of the S-O-N, speaking of Jesus. That's where the whole idea of Jesus' birthday come from. That's it. And they're fooling the people, and the people, because most of them don't read the Bible for themselves, they don't understand what is going on. But that's it. That's where that comes from. So, anyway, many shall come in my name, saying that I am Christ, and at the same time deceiving the people. And he said, make sure you don't get deceived. I'm telling you now, make sure you don't get deceived either. All right, so that's one thing. All right, second thing that he says is going to happen, he says, you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So the second thing is going to be what? Wars and rumors of war. Well, you have the war between Russia and Ukraine going on right now. You had the civil war in Syria that is taking place right now. You have the supposed peace between Israel and Hamas taking place right now. You have all these other wars, should say, quasi war taking place in Sudan. I don't know if you remember, years ago, by the way, we used to collect materials right here and send to the people over in Sudan. They've divided the country and they still have turmoil. They used to be North Sudan and South Sudan. Well, this northern part is bigger, they're more aggressive. They're Islamic in nature and they just retain the name Sudan. And then the southern part is called South Sudan. They're having a lot of challenges. They're more Christian oriented. But my point is, you have that conflict still going on. And you have a lot of skirmishes all over the place. And there are going to be more in the very near future. What is it they were just saying? Just think they were firing missiles the other day. The Hutu rebels, I think they're from UAE, United Arab Emirates, but over there they're firing missiles at Israel, they get shot down, but the point is it's taking place. Wars and rumors of wars. These things are going to continue. Rumors are talking about it. More of it is going to come. So those are the two things, all right? I want you to be familiar with those. And he says, in verse 7, for what? Nation shall rise against nation. The original translation was ethnic groups against ethnic groups. In other words, tribe against tribalism and so on. For nation shall rise against nations, and kingdom against kingdom. What's it? China. Getting ready to invade Taiwan. They've been talking about it eventually. I don't know what's going to be the end result of that. At least eventually it's going to happen. But the point is you see these things taking place. And kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilence in different places. So you have all these diseases and famines and so on. Those are three and four taking place right before our eyes. Number three is the famine, and so on. And then you're going to have the disease and earthquakes and natural disasters starting to take place. Let's read it again. It says, for there shall be, nations shall rise against nations and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in different places. You could have put along with that, tornadoes and volcanoes. And you're going to have a whole lot more taking place down the road. He says, all these are the beginning of sorrows. By the way, the first four I just covered a while ago. In the account of the Roman teaching, they call these the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Speaking of the apocalyptic things that are going to take place are, as we call it, the Revelation, the book of Revelation. So the first four seals, that's what those were. All right? Then comes the fifth one. And then, after all these, because those are going to take place, you're going to have them over and over and over, this is going to intensify. And all these, he says, are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. Now you see what's coming on now. Well, in the book of Revelation, it's just explicit. It talks about persecution. So that's what that is. They shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and you shall be killed. They shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. So for the name of Christ, people are going to hate us. There's going to be a whole lot more. Yes, right here in America also, it's going to take place. Some taking place in England right now. All right, and so he says, all these things are going to take place. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another. How are they going to do this? All right, I don't know all the details of what is going on, but they just announced 2 days ago that California now is reintroducing this thing about wearing masks and stuff like that. You think people would have learned from all this thing. The governor now just declared himself a state of emergency in California, and then now he started taking all this authority to himself. I heard some reports, and this is amazing, where they have farms that are being denied water so that they can irrigate their land. Because they're saying the water needs to run straight to the sea. Yes, right out there in California. So the water now, instead of letting the farmers use it, and I guess it's sinking the ground after a while, it'll end up running, going to the sea, but no. They said, no, they need to go straight to the sea, so that's what's happening, and then the farmers now going out of business. This is the kind of confusion that masquerades as knowledge. That's part of what is going on. Anyway, continue. It says in verse 11, many false prophets and shall arise and shall deceive many, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Because of so much lawlessness, people can't trust nobody no more. And so if you ask somebody for something, simple like, you know, we used to use the expression when we were growing up, if you ask somebody for a cup of cold water, you know, generally when we're growing up, somebody asks for water, you just have to go ahead and help yourself. We usually have a jar, and it has cold water. That's before we started using water from the tap. We had our own water, rain water, and so on. And we had a jar. My mom used to put it in there, fill it up every morning, and it stays cool all day. It was a clay jar, but it stays cool. And you drink it, you didn't have to refrigerate it. It was just cool. People come and they just get a glass of water. Now, you ask somebody for a glass of water these days, and they're going to think, man, you got some trick up your sleeve. People are wary of you. Well, because iniquity shall abound, it says in verse 12, the love of many shall wax cold. But verse 13 says, but he that endures to the end, so God expects us now as Christians to what? Endure. He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. And verse 14 says, give you a peripheral information now. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world as a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Have we been preaching the gospel to the world? Yes, it has been gone out. Is it going to intensify some more? Yes. But that part pretty much has been accomplished. It says in verse 15, when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, there's going to be an abomination set up in Jerusalem. The place is not set up yet, but it's going to be there. Whosoever read, let him understand. In other words, that's Jesus speaking now, you know, and he says, hey, listen, use your head. That's what that means. Whosoever read, let him understand. When you see the abomination spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, then let them who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are on the housetop do not come back down. Neither let him which is in the field return. And woe unto them that are with child in those days, because it will be difficult for them. And pray that your flight be not on the Sabbath and on the holidays. What is he saying? There are a lot of restrictions on people's movement. On the Sabbath, originally, they would close the gate so you couldn't run out of it that easily or run into it. That's the kind of stuff he's talking about here. These are additional information accompanying the fifth thing, which is the persecution. All right, we haven't come to number 6 or 7 yet. And you can read the rest of this in your own time. I want you to begin to sort of catch on to what is going on. For then shall be what? Great tribulation. So we're coming on now towards the great tribulation. We're not there yet. We're on it. It's just coming up to it now. All these things are going to take place before the great tribulation. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved alive. Why is that? Because there's going to be so much calamity, so much fighting and destruction. Unless Jesus intervene, nobody would be saved alive. All right? He says, except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved alive. But for the elect's sake, the elect, the people who are paying attention to him, following his lead, because of them, God is going to come and shorten the time. For the elect's sake, he's going to come and interrupt it. That's what he means by that. He's going to put a stop to it. Otherwise, nobody would remain alive. That means they're going to really use nuclear weapons and things like that. Now, you hear all this talk about the drones up in New Jersey, and they now issue some declaration saying that they're not allowing any more drones to be flown up there. There's something else that they're not telling the people. What they have discovered is that two places up in New Jersey, New York area, they have a large amount of nuclear, or they call it not nuclear, but radioactivity being detected. A large amount. The way the information goes, for some reason they were shipping some nuclear weapon from over at Ukraine to America, and they made a mistake in it. Somehow they misplaced it. We believe it is stolen. We don't know. This is part of what they claim the military is using. Giga counter to measure these things. That's what you call it. The machine, the little meter. At least that's what they used to call it when I was in school. To be able to measure radiation. And so they're looking for it. They're trying to figure out where exactly it is. So they won't tell anybody. They just say it's not foreign. We don't know all the details about what's happening. But a lot of people have been talking about it. What did Mr. Trump say when they asked him? He said, look, for whatever reason, they're keeping the people in the dark, but the government knows what is going on. Are the people going to panic because of nuclear weapons? No, there are a lot of people prophesying that there's going to be some nuclear weapons detonated up there because we let so many foreigners come over here. And nobody checked them when they crossed the border. And so they came with what they call dirty bombs under the rough stuff. And so I don't know all the details are, but the point is that we're all going to rely on Jesus. So this is part of what is happening up there. But I just want you to begin to see all these things. It says going to be tough times ahead. All right? If any man shall say unto you during those days, look, here is Christ, don't listen to them. In other words, pay attention to Jesus. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets. You're going to see a lot of that. Verse 25 says, behold, I've told you before. So he's telling us before, so we need to make sure we understand. Now I am telling you, I'm reminding you, so as to make sure, you know, you become familiar with this. Because these things are coming. Now, I want us to understand something. God doesn't have a problem with us having material things. He doesn't have a problem with us generating wealth and using it. What he has a problem with is letting these things take over our life. That's what he has a problem with. Now, there are some people who believe, well, because I'm a Christian, therefore I must be prosperous, I must have more money than everybody else. That's not what the Bible teaches. Some people are going to struggle, depends on the environment in which they're in, or whoever he called you to, and so on. A lot of different factors. But I want us to make sure we have a proper understanding of how it's supposed to be. So he's telling us, he said, I told you before, so when it happened, no, you won't be surprised. Verse 26, wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, Jesus is out in the desert, don't go out there. He's in the field or whatever, don't go out there. Why? Because he says, for as the lightning comes out of the east, when the sun is rising in the morning, where does the light come from? What direction? It comes from in the east. The sun rises in the east, and if you look, it starts to get brighter and brighter and brighter. That's what it is talking about here. For as the lightning cometh from the east and shine even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. In other words, it's going to be clear for everybody to see when he's coming. So anybody try to tell you, because so many years ago, you have this guy claimed Jesus had come back already and lived in his apartment in New York. You know, he's kind of local. But anyway, yeah, I mean, people were really talking like that. And folks in California say, oh, he's been back 4 years. He's been living with me as my roommate and that kind of stuff. People talk that kind of foolishness from time to time. My point, though, is that folks are going to claim all these things, all right? But you need to understand what is happening. So you're going to begin to see these things taking place, all right? But look at what's going to happen. He says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, there's going to be one more thing taking place. All right, this is number 6. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, verse 29, shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give its light, and there shall be, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. So you're going to see all these heavenly signs taking place. All right? Then you're going to have the period of time we call the day of the Lord, which is some natural disaster now, caused by God himself, because people won't listen. And if you look at the book of Revelation, it expands it out, and it says the seventh seal, seal number 7, has become 7 trumpets, and then you start to break them down and show you what is going on. All right, so that's those are the 7 things that are taking place. So you can go to the book of Revelation, start in chapter 5, and read all the way up to well, I guess about 10, and you will be able to cover all 7 things. But you need to understand these things so you have a working knowledge of how things are supposed to be. Now, I'm pointing these things out because I'd like for you to understand and recognize that you won't fall. And he gives some parables and so on, the parable of the fig tree, and no man knows the days and the hours. So you can read all the rest of Matthew 24. Now, in, let's see, First Thessalonians chapter, wait a minute, did I tell you wrong? Chapter 2. I'll make sure I'm telling you correctly. Chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we're going to read just the first 4 verses. We're going to break them down one by one because I want us to understand what is going on. He says, now I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here it is again. You know, he's giving us another viewpoint. Jesus is coming back. And he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. That's verse 1. So he's telling us about it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. So he's telling us about it. And so verse 2 says, I want you to understand this now, the implication. In verse 2 he says, that you be not soon shaken in mind or by troubled, or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us. So he says, listen, I don't want you to be worried. Saying, you know, somebody said, well, we got a letter from headquarters, and boy, everything's a collapse, you know, we need to whatever. The point is, he said, don't get carried away with this. You need to understand what is going on. You need to know. This is why I'm teaching it today, so as to remind you that you need to know. So he says, don't be moved by all these things. Do not be soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor of word, nor by letter as from us, as that day of the Christ is at hand. So don't let anybody tell you something. Well, look, you know, Jesus is going to come tomorrow, or whatever they might put a day, or however they might phrase it. Or if you don't stick with me, then you're going to be all right. No, no, no. You need to know God for yourself. So don't be shaken by anybody coming with all these information and so on. Information from the inner circle. Verse 3 says, let no man deceive you by any means. Here it is again. They're pointing out, don't let anybody deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, that day is not going to come, except there comes a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Notice that now. Don't let anybody tell you, because we're going to know who the Antichrist is before this happened, the man of sin. That we're going to know. So don't let anybody try to tell you, well, we're going to be raptured, you know, come over here. You remember that man who went over to Guyana and killed all those people? He went and told all, you know, folks, he carried them away, left the country. And here it is. You're going to have cultish people doing this kind of stuff in the future. So we need to be aware. Or the government said, well, we're just trying to preserve the population in this area, you know. So you might be one of the chosen one, and next thing you know, you're one of the ones that they're going to do away with. There was some movie, they were talking about they were going to try to keep some people to preserve the population. I don't know if you remember some years ago. I don't remember. I just saw excerpts of Morgan Freeman, I think, was in there. But there was some major destruction going to happen to the world and so on. They come up with all kinds of things like this. The devil have these ideas. They're not new. So let no man deceive you. Verse 3 again, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So there is going to be a falling away. A lot of people are going to stop believing the Bible, stop attending services, stop paying attention to the basic things. Well, you know, everybody in the church are crookers. They come with all kinds of different ideas. So don't let anybody deceive you. You need to know God for yourself. All right? So that day, Jesus is not going to come unless these things take place. So these things are going to take place in the very near future. So verse 4 says, continue, is a continuation of verse 3. That man of sin who oppose and exalt himself above that is called God. So there's going to be a man down the road, the Bible calls him elsewhere a false prophet. the great false prophet that is, because there are many false prophets now, but there's going to be one that Roman church and all is going around with that thing on their head, who think everybody must listen to them because they are the church. And so he says, who oppose and call himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped. Now, remember I said there's going to be a temple. There's going to be a temple in Jerusalem. It's going to, the third temple is going to be built. And so what is going to happen is that here comes this great Roman church leader again. They're going to want to take charge. And they are going to have this leader go sit in the temple claiming that he is God. Yes, that's what's going to happen. Look at what he says again. Who oppose and exalt himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitting in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Yes, he's actually going to tell people that he is God. And some people are going to fall for it. A lot of the Jews are going to fall for it. You remember Jesus said, they rejected him, but another they will accept. That's what he thought he was implying. That great false leader, people are going to accept him, the false prophet. Remember, now he's going to work in collusion with the beast. And he's going to go over into Jerusalem now and take over the Temple Mount. And, you know, of course, that means they're going to have serious problems in Israel at that time. So the temple has to be built. And then he's going to come now and take over and claim him to be God sitting in it. So that's what he's talking about here. So don't be worried about this. We know this thing now. You need to be familiar with this, that this is going to happen. So when he comes and they try to tell people, our God is in the, he's in the temple, they're wrong. Because everybody's going to see him when he comes, our, the true Messiah. Everybody's going to see him. Every eye shall see him. And besides, we're going to rise up to meet him anyway in the air. So, the bottom line is, if we have risen up to go meet him, you know he hadn't come yet. Don't let anybody tell you any foolishness about rapture. Okay? So we need to know these things. Alright? He says in verse 5, remember you know that when I was with you, I told you these things. He's reminding them, I'm telling you these things so that you won't fall for it. The country is in serious trouble. Who's the economic engine of the world? Which country?
We are.
The United States. The United States is the economic engine of the world. There are some people who don't like that. And so they will go to any extreme to destroy the nation. There are some people in our country also who don't like America, and so they're willing to sell out to these New World Order types. Anyway, God has some prophecy about what is going to happen to America. There is some prophecy, and we're going to go to the book of Amos, so you can turn to it for me, please. And all right, I'm gonna go ahead. I don't want to take you know, because it is really very serious. In fact, let me go to the Message Bible. I'm going to go ahead and look it up. That way we can actually see more clearly. And I'll just go ahead and just do it at the same time. Because when we go to Amos chapter, let's pick it up in chapter 6. I'm going to read this from the 6th chapter of a book of Amos. All right, let's go ahead and I was reading some of the and the reason I'm going to this because it's so, the language is so current that I think we can catch on to it quickly. It says in verse 1, "Woe unto you who think you live on easy street in Zion." Alright. He said, "You think you live on easy street?" Okay. I want you to begin to see what's happening to America. Who think Mount Samaria is the good life? In other words, you might say, who think Washington, D.C., because Samaria was the capital, who think Washington, D.C. is the good life? Woe unto you. You assume you're at the top of the heap, voted the number one best place to live. Well, wake up and look around. Get off your pedestal. Take a look at Calnay. Go and visit Great Amat. These are some little cities that were in their day. Looking at Gat of the Philistines. That's where Goliath was from. Doesn't that take you off your high horse? Compared to them, you are not much, are you? So he's saying to the people now, because, see, this is what is happening in America. You know, we were the high horse. And we don't realize it's time for the people to repent. It's time for us to repent. He says, "Woe to you who are rushing headlong to disaster." The country is rushing headlong to disaster. Let me stop and interject for a moment. I want us to begin to think about it. They had a bill that they were trying to pass. This is the congressman now, right? They said they had a bipartisan agreement before Elon Musk and them other people started racing. 1,500 plus pages. And they were there trying to smooth talk it over and say, well, let's just start afresh when Mr. Trump comes. All right, they're building up all this debt, you know, bankrupting the country before he comes. And they're going to try to do that and pass it. And so Vivek said, listen, we read this thing and all this money you're going to spend, we don't have it anyway. And you all swear that you're going to do right. And now you're up there trying to pass this bill and try to get it passed. So Mr. Trump, when he comes, he's still going to be broke if we're going to borrow all this money. All right. Now, after they raised all this saying, they went back and they rewrote the bill, 130 pages. 130 pages. They condensed, in other words, what I'm to all the other 1380 pages of stuff? What I'm to all this stuff that they were going to try to pass? To show you how dishonest they are. The people in the country don't realize it, you know. And that's why he says that you think you're on easy street. We don't realize they're setting us up. So he says, "Woe unto you who are rushing headlong to disaster," because that's what we're doing. Catastrophe is just around the corner. "Woe to those who live in luxury and expect everyone else to serve them. Woe to those who live only for today, indifferent to the fate of others. Woe to the playboys and playgirls who think life is a party held just for them. That's what he's saying. Woe to those who are addicted to feeling good, life without pain. Those obsessed with looking good, life without wrinkles, they could not care less about their country going to ruin. This is what this country is coming to. People don't realize this is what they're trying to pass off. But here's what's really coming. A forced march into exile. They leave the country whining a ragtag bunch of good for nothings. God, the master, has sworn and Solomon stands by his word. The God of angel armies, that's Jesus, speaks. I hate arrogance of Jacob. He's talking about America. I hate the arrogance. That's another name for America. I have nothing but contempt for his forts. I am about to hand over the city and everyone in it. 10 men are in a house, all dead. A relative comes and gets the bodies to prepare them for a decent burial. He discovers a survivor huddled in a closet and asks, "Are there any more?" The answer, was not a soul. But hush, God must not be mentioned in this desecrated place. Note well, God issues the order. He'll knock large houses to smithereens and he'll smash little house to bits. Do you hold a horse race in the field of rocks? Do you plow the sea with oxen? You have crippled the horses and drowned the oxen, and yet you have made a shambles of justice and bloated corpse of righteousness. Brag of your trivial pursuits, beaten upon your weak crown and crowning. Look what I have done. Enjoy it while you can, you Israelites. I've got a pagan army on the move against you. In other words, that's what God is saying. I'm telling you, this is going to happen. We won't be a superpower when this thing happens. We are not going to be a superpower. Now, it is hard for us to grasp this now, but this is where it is heading. And it is prophesied to happen to the descendants of Israel in the latter days. Now, who are the descendants? They have more cars than any other country. Well, they didn't call it the cars back at that time. They said they have more chariots than anybody else. They have more corn and wheat and oil than any other nation. There's no end to our silver and gold, a modern name for money. Or it's an ancient name for money, what we now call money. And so all these things are beginning to develop right before our eyes, and people are not seeing what time it is. So it is time for the people to be repenting. Instead, they're there talking about as if life is not but a party. Talk to the average person. That's what they intend to do, party. They're talking about it, you know. Next week, they're going to eat as much as they can. They talk about how much weight they gain. They fail to understand what it's time to repent. I am telling you, the country is broke. We wrote 1,500 plus pages. By the way, I'm going to download it and read all of it. And they condensed, they take out all the stuff that was necessary. It came down to 130 pages. Yeah, 130 pages. Just to show you that they weren't for real to begin with. So what are they saying now? Okay, looks like Mr. Trump has allowed Elon Musk to take over the country. Mr. Trump is not even president yet. But you see, they're trying to sow discord right now because they see they're being caught off guard. Remember, there's going to be a window of opportunity while Mr. Trump is in office. But after that, we're going back to the old way because the people won't repent. That's what he's saying. That's what Amos is saying. He said, God, that's verse 1, chapter 7 of the book of Amos, my master showed me this vision. Now, you have some people talking about God has showed me vision about America. Well, let's read what the Bible says and follow the Bible. He was preparing a locust swarm. The first cutting which went to the king was complete, and the second crop was just sprouting. The locust ate everything that was green. Not even a blade of grass was left. I called out, God, my master, excuse me, but what's going on? What's going to come of Jacob? He's so small. What is going to happen? And God gave in. He says, it won't. He said, God showed me this vision. Oh, God, my master. And he started to go in. Chapter 7 of the book of Amos now, it is the prophet now is getting this vision to go warn the people. Let me see if I can go to the King James Version and kind of bring it home to you a little bit. Verse 2 of Amos chapter 7 says, it came to pass that when they had made an end of eating the grass of the land, then I said, O Lord, forgive, I beseech thee, by whom shall Jacob arise? For he is small, and the Lord repented of this. It shall not be, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, showing on me unto me, behold, the Lord God called to contend by fire it, and is devoured the great deep. In other words, judgment is going to come upon the land. That's what he's saying. There are people out there, some say God sent them. I don't know, all I can't pay too much attention to that. But just by looking at the Bible, you know God is going to allow it to happen. He says he calls, he says from ancient times, he's telling us things that are not yet done, saying that his counsel is going to stand. He goes on, he says, thus he showed me, let me see here, the Lord said unto me. Verse 8 of chapter, let's start in verse 7, of chapter 7. So thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line with a plumb line in his hand. You know what a plumb line is? It is one that you use to measure to see how straight it is vertically. When we were little, I see my dad, they do that when they were doing construction. They would tie a bottle with water and have a string on it and put it up. So the gravity is going to cause the bottle to go all the way down. And the line then is going to be vertical, directly against gravity. So you use that to make sure the wall is straight. That's what that means when he says plumb line. And so he says, in other words, if it leans sideways, then you can tell easily. So the point is that, you know, it's not measuring up. And so he says, behold, I'll set a plumb line in the midst of my people, Israel. I will not again pass by them anymore. So he says he's not going to come by and rescue them anymore. This last rescue that we're going to get through, Mr. Trump, is the last one. We're not going to get no more. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. Now, what is happening here, ladies and gentlemen, is this. There are some people who are going to go to whoever the president is, we think it's Mr. Trump, and say, hey, listen, you need to get rid of a certain church group from around the place because they're saying things against the country. Now, we're not talking against the country. We're just telling the people that they need to repent. That's all we're saying. Live for Jesus. But there are some people who don't like this, and so they're going to start attach themselves. Now, Mr. Trump is not a prophet, you know. He's not a minister. So he doesn't know a lot of these things that is going to happen. You're going to have a lot of people going to attach themselves to him and try to get him to help enforce this thing. Is he going to? I don't know. He says he wants to free the church up. But my point is that the prophecy shows exactly the direction it's going to go. So my point is this. You begin to see now the seeds of persecution that is being sowed for us, because the bottom line is this. These folks intend to carry down America. If the people would repent, America would last, would exist. But the people won't. And so this is where we are, ladies and gentlemen. And you and I need to be cognizant of this now. And so we need to know how to pray. What are we supposed to be doing? Pray that be accounted worthy to escape these things. That's one. That's Luke chapter 21, verse 36. But in addition, now we should pray, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, tells us now that we should pray for the kings and the leaders who make decisions, that we can live a quiet and peaceable life. You don't have to be a Bible scholar to say that this country is getting into trouble. We're broke. And they intend to borrow more money. What is the debt? The deficit right now runs $1.7 trillion. That's how much it is per year, $1.7 trillion. And yet they still want to go out and print more money so that they can spend more money again. And, you know, so just yesterday, Mr. Biden is announcing that he's going to forgive certain student loans. And here you come again, because they believe they can fool those college people, you see. They're going to give, you know, somebody have to pay for it. And so they're doing all these things, ladies and gentlemen. The country is in serious trouble, and the people don't know. The leaders, and so when you point these things out now, down the road, they are, because you see, let me tell you something. You see how they went all out trying to shoot Mr. Trump? What do you think they're going to do with ordinary people who can provide the type of protection that he has been assigned? They're going to take them out, the ordinary people. So you and I are going to have to be wise as serpent and harmless as dove as we go out and promote the cause of Jesus Christ. So we need to be cognizant of what's going on. So I am saying to you now, we need to know what the prophet said. These are the things that are going to take place. Now I'm saying again, I said it earlier, 2 Kings, because it takes too much time to do it now, without time now. 2 Kings chapter 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, all the way to 25. 2 Kings chapter 18 through chapter 25. Read it and see how they have behaved in the past. I am telling you that these demon spirits are not smart. Whatever they have done in the past is what they're going to do in the future. So we can look and see what they did in the past, and we can tell what they're going to do in the future. So I am encouraging us now to make sure then we put ourselves in a position where we can be accounted worthy to escape what is coming down the road, because the destruction is coming. You can read chapters 7 and 8 in your own time, the book of Amos. The language is very, very fluent in the Message Bible. And he says, these people just think it's just party, 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 party. That's what they're talking about. Let me tell you something. It is tradition for them to have 9 parties. I don't know why 9. Something to do with some ritual. But they're going to have 9 parties during the inauguration. So they're going to have 9. You can observe it and make a note of it for yourself to see what's going on, because we're going to have an inauguration January 20th. And so my point is that they're going to go through all these things. You and I begin to see, ladies and gentlemen, before our very eyes, because the fact that we decide we won't pay attention, that doesn't mean it's not going to happen. The fact that we decide we're not going to count our money the right way doesn't make us have more money. The fact that we decide that we all agree that we're going to print more money doesn't make the money good. That is where things are headed. You and I have called to live during this time. Now, if you're smart and you're following the Lord, paying attention to Him, He will guide you. It's a lot of fun when you stop and think about it. Years ago, I read this little book. It was about Peter Pan. I don't know how many of you, I guess they have some versions of it now. But the point was that they were going around this island. Everybody was traveling at the same pace, so nobody catch up with any other. That was the way it was in the book. My point was that people were, you know, moving around. But you and I now are going to be moving around just the same. And if you pay attention, the Lord is going to make sure now they won't catch up with you in that respect. In other words, he's going to guide you and direct you. That's my point. Doesn't mean that things won't happen. It's just that you were going to be under his protection. That means you're going to be able to escape, because he said, pray that you are one of the ones that he's going to be looking at that like that. So that's what we need to do. But these things are coming, ladies and gentlemen. So I just thought I'd go ahead and just remind us of, you know, where things are going, how they look. They look too great. But when Jesus comes back and set up the kingdom of God, then everything will be corrected. Until then, you and I have a mission. We're going to go proclaim this good news and share this kind of information and help encourage people to abandon the way of the world and follow God. That's the idea. Thank you so much for listening. See you in the next lesson.